Hey, Mission, how are you? Oh, it's really good to be here with you all. Like Mike said, I take pretty seriously that idea of kind of family. Like, it doesn't feel like I'm at another church today. It's just with people that I love. And so it's exciting to be a part of this series, Made New. It's exciting to be here 1 week before in Ojai. We have our first preview service next Sunday at this time. It'll be happening, and I just couldn't... Man, God just blessed me to be with you all today, and so thank you. Thanks for having me. We're in this series, Made New, and I don't know if you know this, but this word new, so advertisers, brain scientists, they say that there are two words that will, like, take over the human mind. And what do I mean by that? Like, there's these two words. Do you remember the movie Up? Do you remember when the dog would see a squirrel? Remember that? Well, there are two words that are kind of like squirrel for humans, and it's free. So if I say free, you go free, right? Or new, you're like, new, right? And advertisers, they play off this all the time. Like, all the time they play off this. And so you'll be going down the aisle at a grocery store, and you'll see a bottle of ketchup, and it'll say, like, new and improved. And you're like, ketchup? Like, how does that happen? You put more tomatoes in it? What do you do? Like, I've had a lot of lunches with a lot of people. I've never heard anyone go, man, somebody's got to come up with a new take on ketchup. But they throw that word new on there, and we think, man, I got to get that ketchup. So when your friends come over, you're like, check this out. It's the new version. So what do we mean when we say made new? Like, that word new kind of grabs us at people because we know, man, there's some things in our life that we want to change. That we want to see changed. Advertisers play off that like crazy. But what we also know is that most of the time when we go down those roads of new, we end up right back where we started. No matter how much money we pay or how much time we spend, how much we go down that path of new, we just end up right where we were. But the beautiful thing is, what the Bible shows us, what history shows us, what Mission Church, like the people who are here and living it out show us, is that when God says, if you follow him, you will be made new, you never end up where you were. You always go on a journey where he begins to shape and transform, where he begins to heal, where he begins to call you into things that your mind could have never imagined. And the beautiful thing is, as we read this passage today from the Bible, the beautiful thing is it doesn't matter if you've been following Jesus for 40 or 50 years, it's for you. And if you've been following for 4 minutes, it's for you. If you came here just because you're really tired of your mom continuing to invite you, it's for you. This message of hope, this message of life change, this message of being made new that is in the book of Ephesians that we're going to study today is for each and every one of us. And so let's dig in. It starts like this. We're going to be in chapter 4. It says, therefore, I, a prisoner for the Lord, just so you know what that means. The guy writing this, his name is Paul, and he's writing a letter to a church in a town called Ephesus. That's why it's called the book of Ephesians. And he is actually a prisoner at that time. We'll talk about it in a second. He's in jail. So he's writing this letter, says, therefore, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you, some translations say, I beg you to walk worthy of the calling to which you have been called. If you're like, I don't totally know what that means. Well, what I want you to do is just pay attention specifically to what Paul is saying here. What many of us don't realize is that when we start to follow God, when we say yes to him, you immediately have a calling. You have a purpose. You have plans that God has kind of, he has set in motion for you. You have a calling. Now our minds sometimes don't get that. Like, you heard Mike stand up here a minute ago and he said, hey man, there's no perfect people here. And he is absolutely right. And the Bible would absolutely say that. But what's crazy is when God calls those imperfect people to him, he also says, I want you to be my messengers. I want you to work with me in bringing this message of hope to anyone and everyone. And we immediately have a calling. Now, here's what I want you to know that it's not. We're going to talk most of the day about what that calling looks like. But before we even dig into what it is, I want you to know what it is not. It is not a calling to be a consumer, and it's not a calling to be a critic. Why do I say that? Well, in our world today, we are schooled, we're molded, we're shaped to be consumers and critics. Like, we were told that the best thing that we can kind of live in our life is to be consumers. Like, we show up and we buy things and we receive things, and that's how the wheels of life stay in motion, and that's how we stay happy. The problem is, none of us are happy. And then what we do is we critique. We tell everybody what's good, and we tell everybody what's bad. Or really, we just tell everybody when we don't like it, right? You ever read Yelp reviews? They're fun. Like, I can know someone who's like the kindest, like quietest person. They get on Yelp, and they're just going to blaze them. They had no carne asada by the time I got to the front of the line, you know? What's wrong with them? You get those Yelp reviews on national parks. I was going to read some, but I found some that hit a little closer to home. There's Yelp reviews on the Pacific Ocean. Do you know what, you know how many stars the Pacific Ocean gets? 3.5. One of the most amazing things that ever has been created is 3.5 stars. Listen to some of these. It was just too wet. The waves were huge. I almost drowned. I would recommend it only if you're a risk taker. All right? Here's the next one. The birds are kind of rude. Let's be honest, they are. Right? The sand is very sandy. It's always cloudy at the beach, even though it's sunny just 5 miles away. The lifeguards aren't really saving anything. They just sit there and look like they're getting sunburned. Here's my favorite. Decent area. Decent. Fish live here. Waves may knock you over. Great place to get sunburned. These are like the common themes of this. This one, most of these were anonymous. This one had M. Hickerson by it. It said, it's cool. Took my phone one time, the ocean did, but no hard feelings. We've moved past that. Love-hate relationship for me, but it is pretty salty. See, our world crafts us to be consumers and critics. But I want you to know, to be made new in God's kingdom, in his community, which is what we're going to talk about today, as you accept your calling and live into this life, that is the opposite of what he's calling you to be. See, God is not a critic of you. Did you know that? Like, you say yes to him. Some of us, we can reject God for forever, it seems like, be against him. We say yes to him. Do you know what God says? Welcome home. Do you know what the Bible shows? It shows him to be like a father who would run after you, throw his arms around you, give you a kiss, throw you a party. He doesn't do what I probably would do, which would be like, finally, right? Like, what's your problem? I've been working on this since like the 80s. Or as my son calls them, the 1900s. Right? He doesn't do that. He's not a critic of you. So as we step into his community, we're not to be critics. See, we know we need grace, right? I can tell you all the issues I got, all the struggles I have, all the shortcomings that make no sense why God would want me except for his grace and his goodness. So he doesn't say step in and be a critic of my other people. We all have a calling to be gathered together, you'll see in a moment, as one body, and to begin to serve and love one another, not to be each other's critics. and not to show up at a church and just go, how can I get whatever I want from me as a consumer? Rather, we serve and we love and we grow together. And sometimes it's fun and it's amazing, and sometimes it's difficult. But as you'll see in this passage, God moves, and through all of it, he begins to make us new. I want you to think about the guy that's writing this. His name is Paul. And he had been someone who in his past, it's not like he just had walked away from God or not had anything to do with him. He was trying to kill Christians. Like, that was his goal. His motive was to get them eradicated from the earth. And many of you know his story. Through a radical conversion experience, he repents and says, God, I was wrong. I'm with you. And God tells him, I'm going to make you a messenger, an apostle, he says, to the Gentiles, to those outside of the Jewish faith. You're going to go anywhere and everywhere and tell them about me. Which if you're Paul, you're humbled. You're like, that's a pretty cool job. But then guess what? Paul gets arrested. He gets put in jail. Which these things don't make sense, right? He's supposed to be an apostle to the Gentiles, and he's in jail. And it's not like he's in there today. It's not like he can start a blog. It's not like he can tweet, put things on his Instagram. He just writes letters. He sends those letters to churches. He doesn't critique God. He doesn't say he understands what God's doing, but he doesn't critique him. But these letters, they start to change the world, and they start to change churches for thousands and thousands of years. So we all have a calling to step into community together and begin to trust God with our lives. Not what I want or not what I think, not what you want or what you think, but the path that he takes us down. Look how it continues. It says, therefore, I, the prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, accepting one another in love, diligently keeping the unity of the Spirit with the peace that binds us. So he's saying again, we all have this calling, but this calling immediately moves us into relationship with one another. And he knows that's going to cause issues. And so he's saying what's going to mark us is gentleness, humility, patience, and accepting of one another in love. See, in order to be made new, we have to understand we have a purpose and a calling with God. We also have to understand that we have a new community. We have a new family that marks us. A new group of people that we run to and we trust as we move forward in this world. But see, Paul knows it's going to be tough. Because it doesn't matter if you're in his day 2,000 years ago, our day now, or search the history records. The communities that you and I make, not the community that God makes, but the community that you and I make, we make them with people who think like us, talk like us, look like us. It doesn't matter if it's a political party, right? Or it doesn't matter if it's a sports team. We want to be around people who are like us. But God says, that's not what my people are going to look like. My people aren't going to be marked by what they look like, rather the grace that I give them. My people are going to look humble. They're going to look forgiving. They're going to look kind. So anyone out there knows that they are welcome in here. They're not going to be able to show their resume on how they got in, because the only resume that brings you into his community is the cross of Jesus. See, we have this new community. And when we step into this community, we have to be willing to do two things. What does he say there? Let the Spirit lead us to give love and to receive love. You're like, that's easy. Oh, it's not. Incredibly hard. I could almost split us down the middle that we're probably of one of two minds in what's easy for us. Some people in here, it's easy to give love. for whatever reason, like that's kind of your go-to. You don't mind when someone shows up saying hi to them, like checking in with them. How are you doing? Like being there for them. That's just something that you do. Others of you, that's really hard. Your tank is empty. You got nothing. And it could have been because just the season of life you're in, you just feel empty. It could be because you had close relationships with parents or a spouse or you name it that has burned you, have hurt you, abused you. And so you're like, I'm not going to love anybody. God calls each one of us. You saw it in the words there. To be marked by the way we give love. And this is where it turns to a new community. This is where we begin to be made new. Because those of us who it's hard to love, we have to trust God that he's going to provide that love for us. And many times it's going to look like we're in a fog and we can only see one step in front of the other. But what we're going to see on the other end of it is that he shows up and he provides in ways we cannot fathom. For those of us who it's easy to give love, we're going to struggle with that other part, receiving love. She's going to call myself out. That's me. It's easy for me to serve. It's easy for me to find that person and talk to them and let them know God's love, preach about God's love. It's hard for me to expose myself and say, I need his love and receive his love. I lived in Portland, Oregon about 15 years ago, and we would go under the Burnside Bridge and Friday nights, and we would cut hair, and we would, of homeless folks, we would provide food, we would give them clean socks. It rains there all the time, and so their feet would be miserable, and then we would wash feet. Now, I don't know if you've ever washed feet or had your feet washed. It's an incredibly vulnerable moment. For both people, to be honest. But I was in the position where I was washing the feet, and so I felt okay with that. Sure, the first few is a little awkward, and I would connect with them and talk with them and get to hear their story a bit, but I slowly got used to it. And then one of the gentlemen had finished washing his feet. I'd given him a fresh pair of socks. He's putting on his shoes, and he says, can I wash your feet now? And in my head, I was like, you gotta be kidding, right? And I was like, okay. So I sit down, take off my shoes, take off my socks, and let this gentleman wash my feet. Just one step in front of the other. And God shows me, Kyle, you think you're too good for my love? You think you don't need this love? See, that's why our community is different. That's why our community makes us new. Because what identifies us is not who's better and who's worse, like who's got it and who doesn't. Because we all need it. And that's the grace and the goodness of God. If you're like, yeah, but how do we know we can trust? How do we know that he's going to show up? Well, Paul knows it, so he keeps going in Ephesians. He says this, there's one body and one spirit. Just as you were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. That spirit, that is what is with us. That spirit that was here at the beginning. That spirit that created everything. That's what brings the life to our community. That's what allows those of us who struggle with giving love to give love. Those of us who struggle with receiving love to receive love. See, this passage saying you have a calling, you have a community, and our community has a king. Hallelujah. And this king, he can't be conquered. This king, he can't be defeated. This king has had everything thrown at him, and every time he's triumphed. The sins of the world, the darkness of death. And he is what brings the life and the light to the church. And so we're made new because we don't have to search for a leader. We don't have to search for that person who we think maybe they can help us. You know what I mean by that? Like our world, we're obsessed with that. Think about it. You watch the election cycle whenever the president runs. And the thing that's maybe I hate the election season. But anyway, you get to the end of it, and the person's elected, and you're watching on election night. And what do they always do? Now that so-and-so is elected, let's talk about who's going to run in 4 years. And you're just like, no, I can't do it. We're obsessed with that. We think that there's that one person. Even like in sports, I'll say it this way, you know, a lot of you I know, we joke about it. I love Southern California. I'm so glad God's brought me here. I feel like these are my people. This is where I should have been born. There's only one thing that just is really hard for me, and that is I do not like the LA Dodgers, okay? That's gotta be real. I know. And boo me. It'll be on the Yelp review. It's an amazing church. Sometimes they boo the pastor, right? Because I love the Giants. And so, oh yeah, all right, I got a few out there. So my boys, I'm raising them right, like to love the Giants. And they're 10 and they're 6. And my 6-year-old, like, we'll watch the Dodger games because we just love baseball. And he'll be like, Dad, man, I just really wish Mookie was a Giant. And I'll be like, yeah, I hate to say this, but I do too. Like, I really, if he was on our team, like he could, or Freddie, like I love Freddie. I love lots of people afterwards were like, you're not getting those guys. I'm like, I know. I'm just saying. We think as people, like, man, if I just get that person. But do you know, as the church, we have the all-powerful, eternal God as our leader. We can rest in that, trust in that. Even if right now you're going, Kyle, I don't want to trust him for my calling. I don't want to trust him for my community. No, think about it. This is the God who set everything in motion. He's thinking about you and me. Listen to this quote from George MacDonald. Kind of stopped me in my tracks when I heard it. Because I often will think like, God, here's what I want to be, I'll tell him. Here's what I want to do. Listen to this quote. He says, I would rather be what God chose to make me than the most glorious creature than I could ever think of. For to have been thought about, born in God's thoughts. Have you ever thought about that? That God thought about you, that he thinks about you, that he's made plans for you. And then made by God is the dearest, grandest, most precious thing in all thinking. The God that made that ocean, even though it's got 3.5 stars, thought about you. The God that made that Grand Canyon, he has plans for you. Like, I'll think all the time on what I want to do. And I just read this quote and I was like, oh, wow. My father's thought about me. I have my two boys and I love dreaming about what their life could look like. I've never thought about the fact that God thinks the same for me. Yes. This is why we're made new in life with him, in community with him. And then the crazy part is that he promises us that there's going to be a way that this ends. Look at this. It says, and he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the training of the saints. That's churchgoers in the work of ministry. So what he's saying is there's certain people that he's brought about in the community. They're going to help us grow up in him, help us stay on the path towards knowing him and trusting him. He says to be built up the body of Christ. That's what the church is called. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son. That's the goal of the church, is to speak hope and healing and grace to anyone and everyone until we're all in and we grow up in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Translation, until we look like Jesus. Jesus that would serve, Jesus that would suffer, Jesus that would go to anyone and everyone. See, that's our goal as a church, is to mature, is to grow up in God. Folks, this is one of my favorite things about mission, is I've got to see, really, since about 2013, 14, I got to start coming here and see this church grow up. Like, it was beautiful at the beginning, just like an infant is. Like, you go and see an infant, you're like, that's amazing. It just lays there, right? And you're like, that's so cute. You know, it can't do anything. In fact, it just makes you do a lot of things. But it's so cute. But I'd come back every year. I see you grow up a little. You weren't the infant anymore. Then you were the kid who's starting to crawl, right? And then you're the kid who's starting to walk. And I love it when a kid takes his first steps. What do? Yeah! It usually scares the kid and they fall over. And then you become that toddler. And that toddler, they kind of think they know what they're doing. They can walk fine, but then they'll just put their mouth on something that's just disgusting, right? You're like, don't do that. And then you grow up. See, we're called in this community, all of us with a calling. We start to recognize God as King. And as we go down the path together, he shapes us into people who will become conquerors. Do you know what I mean by that? People who will grow up, put aside the immature things of life, the temptations that distract us, the sin that nags at us. And we begin to show the world that there actually is hope. And that when you follow God, you are absolutely made new. And it's not an empty promise. It's not a marketing slogan. But it's the reality of the way of Jesus. And you heard Mike say it. But that's why I want all y'all to come help us start this thing in Ojai. Like, folks, it is a big work. And I know when Mike and Jody and the gang, they came here, it was a big work. But when you have people who are focused on this, God shows up and does amazing things. Because what you all embody is the reality that hope is not just an idea. Hope is not just, like I said, a marketing slogan. But that when you trust Jesus, it's a tangible way of life. And so practically, when you show up, you won't just be serving in a kid's room or making coffee or welcoming someone as they walk in. You'll be a living embodiment of hope that will speak to that person in a way that a sermon really never can, in a way that only God, moving through his people, can begin to change that person and the others around them. And so you heard Mike, but I'm going to ask you again. It's a big ask. Will you come and join us? Join us for our preview services. There's one next Sunday. There's one on August 27th. Help us serve. And then kind of commit from September 10th through Christmas to just saying, I'm going to let this church lay the foundation of what we read about today. You'll be bringing hope to the Ojai Valley. You'll be changing lives in a way that will mark them for eternity. Will you be sacrificing your comfort? Absolutely. But you'll be joining God in a mission that I believe is the most beautiful mission and the most beautiful calling that he has given his people. In a second, you're going to see how this has worked in the life of mission in two folks that I know. You're going to see how it's taken two people who left in the world would probably never hang out. In fact, probably be enemies. And has brought them together. Because for God, being made new is not an empty promise. It's absolutely a reality. Let's take a look at the video.
My name's Skip Young. I grew up here in the city of Ventura. I was in the Army during Vietnam. I became a police officer after leaving the Army. I served 30 years with the Ventura Police Department in a variety of assignments, from patrol, canine, gangs, major crimes, homicide. After 30 years, I've retired and I've had a lot of time to reflect on the 30 years as a police officer and all the things that I encountered and engaged in.
My name is Tony Harbor. I grew up here in Ventura, California. Had a brother, sister, mom and dad. Went to high school here and started drinking and drugs about those high school years. That escalated from, you know, like a weekend thing to an everyday thing. Just a rebellious lifestyle, womanizing, alcoholic, drug addict, no respect for the law whatsoever. No respect for anyone but me, honestly. I thought that we met like this.
Well, we joke because I tell people, you know, I never realized how handsome Tony was because I was always chasing him from behind. Coming here to Mission, I met Tony without knowing his background. And his background, quite frankly, doesn't matter to me because the guy that I've met, the guy that I've become friends with, is a guy that I'd like to hang around with despite his background. Being a police officer for 30 years, we have a pretty strict standard of rules, including associating with felons, criminals, and it's strictly prohibited in a lot of police agencies and their policies. And we've taken the time to go to breakfast. He's been over at the house, but this is clearly not something that would have occurred 20 years ago during my time as an active police officer.
Getting into like small groups around here and meeting other men that have been like strong Christian men for many decades, and then taking the time to hang out with them, have coffee, read, pray, it's changed my heart. Like, this is where it's at, and the Holy Spirit just like grows in my heart. The more it's so luring, and it's my new addiction. My new addiction is God and these like righteous people that I get to spend time with, and I get to grow, and just life changing. That's what it is.
I found that here at Mission, the people that I meet, the small groups, the rooted groups, have helped my view of the world, my view of mankind, change radically from where it was 15, 20 years ago when I was still working the streets or working gangs or whatever.
I never in a million years thought that my life would be like what it is today, serving with you and having such a good time here at Mission with the same common ground, like serving God. Like, it's a real hoot. Yeah, I would say there's just the transformation that takes place, like as you were talking about, and we're not those same people anymore. Our past definitely doesn't define us, and we get that through Christ. You know, He is the chain breaker, the miracle worker, the light in our darkness, and that's like 24/7. God is constantly working. When we're like tripping in our heads about some silly things, there's a solution that is right around the corner. And it's always God. Time and time again, it's always God. It's always in the Bible. It's right there. And it's what brings us together, you know, and it's what keeps us strong and entwined, you know, to just to have that solid foundation.
I love that. I want a t-shirt inspired by Tony's quote, like, follow Jesus, it's a hoot. You know, I love it because those are real lives, and that's real hope, and that's real relationship, and that's real change that has absolutely been because God makes us new. And again, I want to tell you, man, if you're ready to take that step with us in Ojai, I'll be out at the table right after. Come and sign up for the launch team. If you have questions, ask us about that. But no, what we're asking you to bring is just yourself. As you follow God on the journey that He's bringing you, so that we bring real hope and real life change to wherever He takes us. Let's pray. God, You are so good. Thank You for just how You make us new. And then God, You are calling us on the journey. We don't have to will up anything. We just have to trust You step by step, one foot in front of the other. So God, would Your Spirit move in us that way today? If we have taken that road of being the critic, God, or being the consumer, would You call us out of it? Would we be people who speak grace and love? people who embrace you, God, as you call us to love others and receive love. Father, we don't want to look like any other institution in this world, just one that's defined by you. We thank you and praise you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.